Well, we appreciate your flexibility this morning as we adjusted our schedule a little bit, and glad to see you here. And it's been quite a week in our little corner of the woods here at Fairmount in Hanover County since Sunday. Of course, we've had two snowfalls. We've had water outage for 2 days and all the things that come with that. And so I hope that at the very least, if you're without water, that by now you've showered, hopefully, everybody, everybody showered. If you're one of those that hasn't showered yet, the person next to you is going to know really soon. If you haven't showered, but it's good that you're here. And I hope that your home is getting a little bit more back to normal, as things settle down. Now, this week was a reminder that everyone needs hope, especially when life starts to go a little sideways, when things get a little off kilter. We need hope for today. We need hope for tomorrow. Fairmount is a church that provides real hope for real people. We provide real hope for real people. I was reading an article and somebody asked a pretty powerful question, pretty basic question, but powerful question. What good is hope? What good is hope? Well, one neuroscientist says that humans seek after hope like moths seek after light. He says it's intrinsic in who we are. He builds a case that hope is so essential to our survival that it's hardwired into our brains. He argues that it's the difference between living a healthier life versus one trapped by despair. And a few examples that he gave from his studies. Did you know that studies show that college students who are hopeful get higher GPAs and are more likely to graduate than those that have less hope? So don't study, just have hope. You got to study too. But they're hopeful. Hopeful athletes perform better on the field. They cope better with injuries. They have greater mental adjustment when situations change and emerge. One of the studies showed that of the elderly said that those who felt hopeless were more than twice as likely to die during the study follow-up period than those who were more hopeful. Hope is powerful. Hope is not just an emotion, but it is an essential tool for life. In an article for Christianity Today, Andy Crouch writes this. He says, human beings can live for 40 days without food, 4 days without water, and 4 minutes without air, but we cannot live for 4 seconds without hope. Plato, Greek philosopher Plato, said this. He said, life is hope. Without hope, life is lost. The good news today is that we have hope. Jesus is the hope for the world. Jesus is the hope for the world. Real hope is found in Jesus Christ. He gives us hope for today so that we can endure and persevere with whatever life happens to throw at us at the moment. He gives us hope for the future and eternity with God in heaven. And this real hope is for real people like you and like me. People with hopes and dreams, people with hurts and hardships in their lives. Jesus provides real hope for real imperfect people from a real perfect God. We have hope. And this hope is an anchor for our souls. Hope is an anchor for our soul. Our main scripture today, for today's message, comes from the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles or a Bible app, you may want to go ahead and pull up Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be in Hebrews 6 a little bit this morning. But the main scripture that I want to focus on comes from Hebrews 6:19. This is a short verse, one that I would encourage you to memorize. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I remember when I was in high school, I would go, my parents were divorced, and so about once a month, I would go spend the weekend with my dad and my stepmom. And I remember that one of those weekends that we went to meet my stepmom's parents for the first time. And so her parents, they were about to retire, and we went and we hung out in their backyard for the afternoon and just sat and visited. And their backyard, almost the entirety of their backyard, was taken up by a boat that he had been building for a few years. This boat, he built it all, you know, did it all himself, built this boat, and the plan was for them to retire, sell their home, live on that boat, and sail up and down the East Coast from Virginia to Florida. And I couldn't believe it that, you know, he had that type of skill and the knowledge that he could do that. And so it wasn't much longer after that that the boat was ready. We went out on the maiden voyage of that boat out in the Chesapeake Bay and sailed around for the day. And not long after that, they had sold their house and they were living on that boat and they were sailing back and forth. They ended up sailing to Florida, living in Florida the rest of their years on that boat that he had made. Now, I don't know anything about building a boat. I really don't know anything about sailing a boat. But I do know that one of the most important parts of a boat is its anchor. An anchor is one of the most important parts of any boat. And an anchor has two purposes to it. The first is that an anchor secures a boat to a location. It secures a boat to a location. An anchor keeps that boat in one spot. It stabilizes that boat by acting as a brake in the water so that the boat does not get thrown off course by strong winds and currents. Comparing our hope in Christ to an anchor, one commentator writes this. He says, "The ship firmly anchored is safe from idle shifting. Its position and safety are sure." So hope is a stabilizing force for the Christian. Our hope in Jesus stabilizes our lives. It keeps us, as Jesus talks about, on the straight and narrow path that leads to life, so that our lives don't veer off course. An anchor secures a boat to a location. But an anchor also ensures a boat's safe navigation. An anchor ensures a boat's safe navigation. It ensures that that boat navigates safely through bad weather, that it avoids running aground so that it can reach its final destination. Now, speaking metaphorically, Satan wants to use the storms of life, whether it be an illness or a divorce or a death of a loved one or a job loss or a disaster or no water for 2 days, or you name whatever it may be, Satan wants to use those storms of life to shipwreck our faith. A Christian's destination is our eternal home in heaven. And Satan wants to do everything he can to prevent us from reaching that destination. Our hope in Christ serves as an anchor to assist us in safe passage so that we reach our home, eternity in heaven with Jesus. One preacher says this about our hope. He says our hope is undisturbed by outward influences. So all those storms, all those things going on around us, all those external things, he says our hope is undisturbed by them. God is greater than any storm, than any situation that we face. And I think back to Matthew chapter 8. Jesus and his disciples are on a boat. And we read there that Matthew describes this storm that comes up. He calls it a furious storm. Just comes up and the boat begins to be overtaken by the waves. You know, water's coming onto the boat. The disciples are freaking out. They're scared. They're afraid they're going to die. And you remember what Jesus was doing. He was asleep. He was taking a nap on the boat, undisturbed by the storm. The disciples had to wake him up. And when they did, with a word, we're told, he calms the storm. An anchor, it secures a boat to a location. It ensures a boat's safe navigation. An anchor, I don't know if you realize this, an anchor was a popular symbol for the early church and Christians of the early church. In the catacombs in Rome, many Christians from that time period, the early church, they were buried in these catacombs, and there's symbols of their faith on their tombs. Three prominent symbols stand out: the dove, the fish, and the anchor. The dove, as you probably know, stands for the Holy Spirit. The letters of the Greek word fish is ichthus, and we see a lot of those on the backs of cars, right? That fish, the Jesus fish on the back of cars, that ichthus, that's an acronym for a confession of faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son and Savior. So that ichthus, that fish, was a symbol of Christians of the early church. And then the anchor. An anchor was a symbol. And that anchor, the idea of the anchor, came as Christians were going through difficult, insecure times, that their hope was anchoring their souls. And so the anchor has been used for centuries as a symbol of our hope in Christ. Just as it was for the early Christians, the anchor as a symbol of our secure hope in Jesus applies to us as well. Our hope of salvation through Jesus Christ is an anchor for our souls. Now, an anchor works by digging in and attaching itself to the seabed. It has to grasp onto something, to hold onto something. There has to be some firm ground, something that it can attach itself to. And so this morning I want us to see, what is the firm ground that our anchor of hope digs in and attaches itself to? And the first thing I would say is that our hope is anchored in God's nature. Our hope is anchored in God's nature. Now we go back to Hebrews chapter 6. And we read this verse, verse 18, right before our main verse here. Verse 18 says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. The two unchangeable things that the writer of Hebrews is referring to here are God's promise and God's oath. We read a few verses earlier in Hebrews 6 that this is in reference to the promise that God made on oath to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, God promises Abraham on oath that God would bless Abraham and give him many descendants, so many descendants that he couldn't count them as sand on the seashore, stars in the sky. This is after Abraham was about to go through with sacrificing his son Isaac. And God has said, you would not even withhold your son from me. I'm going to bless you. And this is the promise that he makes. And we know that once God speaks and makes a promise, he will not go back on his word. God cannot lie. His nature is unchangeable. And this means that we can trust God. It means that we can have confidence in God. It means that we can commit our hope and our faith and our lives to him. So I want to share just a few verses that speak of this unchangeable nature of God. Hebrews chapter 13, a few chapters later, chapter 13, verse 8, we read there that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And then James chapter 1, verse 17, James tells us there that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God does not change. He remains the same. And I could have given you 100 more verses about the nature of God. But this small sample, it speaks to God's unchanging nature of goodness, of love, of trustworthiness. God is ever present. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. And he does not change. And so our hope is anchored in this firm ground of God's unchanging nature. Next, we see that our hope is anchored in Jesus' actions. Our hope is anchored in Jesus' actions. It's been said that your behavior is a reflection of what you truly believe. Your behavior is a reflection of what you truly believe. So think about that later today, if what you say you believe and your actions kind of line up, if they do or not, because your behavior really shows what you believe. And so as we look at Jesus' behavior, as we look at Jesus' actions, they reflect what God truly believes about us. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. Jesus willingly sacrificed his life on the cross to atone for our sins. Jesus' actions show that God believes every person is valuable and that every person is worth saving. Jesus' actions show us that God loves us, that God loves people. Going back to Hebrews chapter 6, this is how the writer of Hebrews describes Jesus' actions. We pick it up really in the second half of verse 19. Remember verse 19, hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And then this verse continues, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And the key phrase here in these verses is where it says, who went before us. Jesus who went before us. I was reading about the Marines, and in the Marines, the training for commandos includes cliff assaults. And one Marine recounted that his unit, as they did this training, they would come close to a cliff on their small boats, and they would fire a rocket up on top of the cliff, and attached to that rocket was a grapnel, and attached to that grapnel was a very light, thin rope. And he said when that rocket landed on top of the cliff, the grapnel would lie there in the grass at the top, and they would pull back gently on that until it caught on something, hopeful that it was something secure. And once it had caught on something and they felt like it was pretty secure, then that unit, which included several expert climbers, would have one of those climbers get out of the boat onto the rocks and scale that cliff holding onto that thin rope that was attached to that grapnel, hopefully attached to something secure. This person carried with them a larger rope that they would take to tie off once they got to the top. And below, while this person's climbing up, everybody else held onto that larger rope and they just held on waiting. And when that climber reached the top and tied off, he would give two quick tugs on that rope. And that was their signal. And they would all get out of the boat and they would start scaling the cliffs with that rope. And this Marine who's telling this, recounting this, he talked about how scary it was. That you're just hoping that the rope's going to hold. That you're hopeful that it's on something sturdy and secure at the top. It was very scary, but he said what gave everyone in their unit full and complete confidence that things were going to be okay was the person that had gone before them. They had confidence that he had done his job. They had confidence that he had fastened things off well and that they were going to be safe. They were confident in the one who went before them. Jesus is called the one who has gone before. Or in Greek, the Greek word here is prodromes. And a prodromes was a person who headed the patrol and military maneuver. So he was the person who went ahead to explore, who went ahead to make sure that the way was open prior to the advance of the army. That's what that person did. That's what Jesus has done. He's gone ahead of us. He's made a way. Jesus has gone before us. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place in heaven for us. And he will take us there to be with him. Paul writes to the Colossian church about Jesus, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he, being Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus has gone before us in death and in resurrection. He's made it possible that when we die, we will be raised to new eternal life with him. Our hope is in what Jesus has done. Jesus has gone before us to prepare our way to eternal life with God in heaven. He's achieved an incredible, momentous victory through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, and through his ascension to heaven. Our hope is anchored in the redemptive actions of Jesus. Admiral William McRaven once said this. He said, "Hope is the most powerful force in the universe. With hope, you can inspire nations to greatness. With hope, you can raise up the downtrodden. With hope, you can ease the pain of unbearable loss. Sometimes all it takes is one person to make a difference." Jesus makes the difference. Jesus makes the difference. Let the real hope of Jesus be an anchor for your soul today. It's been just over 30 years now, I think, since I was able to visit Niagara Falls in college. And what we would do every spring at college, Lincoln Christian College in Illinois, is the whole campus would empty for about 10 to 12 days over spring break. And we would go all over the United States. Some students went out of the country. And we would go and we'd serve. Short-term mission trips, go work with churches, that type of thing. And so we did that every spring. And my freshman year, I was able to go to really what was it was the most popular trip. But part of the reason it was most popular is because they could take the most people. We would go to New England. And they would pile, 60 of us on this big bus. And we would go and we'd leave at midnight and we'd drive up to Detroit and then across Canada, because you didn't need a passport to go through Canada 30 years ago. So we could just go across Canada over by Niagara Falls, cut through New York. And then they would start dropping us off in teams of 4 to 6 at different churches for the next 10 to 12 days. And we were in Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont and Connecticut and Massachusetts. I was dropped off right outside of Boston. My team was right outside of Boston for that week. But as I said, we drove across Canada and we would stop after leaving at midnight. We would arrive at Niagara Falls early afternoon the next day, and that we were going to spend the night there. And so we would go and we'd spend the night, and so I'd get to see the falls, and it was beautiful. It was March, so it was cold. Real cold, but the falls weren't frozen over at the time, so that was nice. We could see them. But a little study about the falls. As you get closer to the falls, obviously the water is just really just, the rapids are treacherous, and it's really hard for boats to navigate. You got to really know what you're doing. But if you go further upstream, the water's a lot calmer. And in that calm water, there's actually a pedestrian bridge that spans over the river. And as boats are sailing underneath that bridge, there's a sign on that bridge for all the boats. And the sign asks two questions. It says, "Do you have an anchor? And do you know how to use it?" Because the water's going to get rough. And you better have an anchor. And you better know how to use it. And so my question that I ask you this morning is, do you have an anchor? Do you have an anchor for your soul? Do you have an anchor that's keeping you on path, on the right path? Do you have an anchor that's helping you to navigate the choppy waters of life? Jesus, the hope we have in Christ, that's the anchor for our souls. And if you have that anchor, I need to ask you another question. Do you know how to use it? And are you using it? Are you relying on Christ? Are you allowing him to truly be the Lord of your life and lead your life This morning, we're going to have a time of invitation, and Bill and the team are going to lead us in a song of invitation. I'm going to be down here, and if you need to make that decision this morning to give your life to Christ and allow Him to be that anchor for your soul and be baptized into Him, I would love to talk to you about that this morning. If you please just stand with me as we sing.